Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Howdy. It's the Wednesday, May 24th edition of the podcast, a monster Memorial Day weekend for those folks on the other side of the border. We're, of course, Canadian. We had our long weekend this past go around, but and a big emphasis on motorsports here this weekend, as there's three big races, two big ones in North America, another big one in Monaco. We're going to rev the engines here for NASCAR, F1, and IndyCar betting with our buddy Eric Smith of Racing Review Online. He's going to share some betting tips for capping those big races, as well as his favorite bets behind the wheel this weekend. And I've also got some best bets for Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Heat. With that series shipping out to Boston tomorrow, no Arthur this week. He's off, so we're going to close the show with some NBA wagers. And joining me, as always, is my producer, Dell. Buddy, we've got less and less action, it seems, every single night. If we're kind of reaching the dog days. I got a lot of baseball still left. Are you a big baseball guy? Have you been to some Jays games? Have you seen the renovations at the Rogers Center or anything like that?
I have. It's been really fun down there. The renovations are great. Can't complain about them at all. The team's been kind of crappy. They had a big game yesterday.
they put up some runs yesterday, yeah?
Yeah, before that, they were on a little bit of a cold streak there, but hopefully that kicks them back into gear. But hopefully they have a good year. They're obviously in the toughest division in baseball, so that's never easy. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Have you been in the bleachers chirping the relievers as they warm up or what?
No, it's tough to get those seats, man. You got to be there 4 hours before the game because I think from what I've looked up, I'm pretty sure it's first come, first serve on those because that's just a general admission ticket. So people that are on those seats are there 3 hours before the game, and that's not in my agenda.
They've definitely earned their right to shit talk then if they're showing up 3 and 4 hours before games.
They're Googling every reliever's name, that's the wife's name,
the dog's name. 4 hours of research.
Yeah, nice. Exactly. That's a good. It's a full strategy.
Nice. I love the idea behind it. As long as everyone, you know, it keeps it on that side of the guardrail, I think they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Before we get going, a reminder too, if you got a minute, please rate and review the Sharp 600 podcast. We'd love to hear from you, get your feedback on everything that we've been doing as we get through the playoffs for hockey and baseball, or basketball. Obviously, we got summer, but, you know, football's coming down the track. So let us know what you want to hear for the upcoming football season. What are you interested in? A huge Memorial Day weekend in auto sports betting. Three high-profile races on the board in NASCAR, F1, and then, of course, the Indianapolis 500 and IndyCar. And here to give it put a little gas money in your pocket this weekend is Covers resident racing expert from Race Review Online, Eric Smith, making his Sharp 600 debut. Eric, thanks so much for taking the time and talking auto sports and racing and everything with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, this is kind of like your Christmas Day, Easter, New Year's Day, all in one big weekend here. If you're a fan of racing, we'll start with NASCAR, the Cup Series, of course, in Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600. We've got six drivers below 10-1 odds, depending on where you bet, to win this Memorial Day staple. We got Kyle Larson is the front runner at +450, followed by Byron Hamrin, Truex, Elliott, and then Ross Chastain, all at 9-1 or shorter. Which faves are worth the wager to you here in Charlotte?
I hate always going straight to the top of the board there, but Larson's just been so good. He's coming off an all-star race win last week, and granted, you can't take anything from North Wilkesboro short track to Charlotte, but he did win. And the other 2 years that he won, or actually you can go back to 2021, when he won the all-star race at Texas, he turned around and won the Coca-Cola 600. And he's just been so good this year. The races that he hasn't had somebody take him out, he's either finished first, second, or third. He's always right there. You get four top 10 finishes his last five tries on the oval there. So I just think it's too good to pass up, even though it's a low number. His teammate, I think I wouldn't be surprised if he won. But if you look at some trends for the Coke 600 in general there, it seems you kind of have to pay your dues before you win. It seems like they 5, 6, 7, 8 starts – before they even get a chance to reach victory lane there. And Byron's just kind of been feast or famine. He's just been hard to figure out. It's up and down. He's got a top five and two top tens and six starts, fourth in 2021. But it's also, is he going to just jump out and win? He's already won three times this season. It's just hard to believe he's going to jump into the fourth win when you still got so many other winners that haven't yet to win. So 5-1 I thought was a little low for him. I do like the Toyota camp, so Hamlin and Truex. I would probably punt on Byron if you just want to go with like a favorites pack of Larson, Hamlin, and Truex. I think you're pretty safe there. But again, it's NASCAR's been a weird year with betting this year. But Toyota, I've looked, they've won 5 of the last 7 years in the Coke 600. They were 1-2 last year, three cars in the top five. I expect this year's race to look like last year's because the car, nothing changed. The track stayed the same. So Toyota's have proven pretty fast on intermediate package. So I think between Larson and Hamlin and Truex, if you want to go a package of that direction, you're probably pretty safe there.
All right. And this kind of ties into what you've been saying. In a race like this at Charlotte, the 600, we do see familiar names in victory lane. Like you said, guys have to pay their dues before showing up. We see some past winners here at the top of the board. And then car manufacturers, like you said, Toyota has had success. Gibbs Racing has had success. When you kind of weigh things, capping odds for a race like the Coca-Cola 600, is it current form where you're tend to, you know, a guy like Carl Larson where he's hot, or are you looking for more of that past success and certain connections to historic trends so far in the 600?
I really look at if you're kind of good at the track, you're just kind of good there. It just kind of translates over. But I look more recent towards like last year's race or what happened last year with it being the car. Week to week, for whatever reason, because of this next gen has just kind of changed the next gen. That's the new car that came out next year in NASCAR. It just kind of changed the game where momentum, it just ebbs and flows. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason some weeks. And the drivers I've talked to have said it's that's just the way this car operates. It's so even. Odd mechanical things could happen. You get caught up in someone else's mess that I've seen guys that might finish last 1 week and win the next week. So I don't look at a lot of recent momentum. A few drivers you could kind of own in on like, yeah, you know, he's pretty hot right now. And he's doing better. And we'll get to a one sleeper here in a minute that I feel like that can apply to. But other guys, you're just kind of either good or you're not. There's some guys that I mentioned, I'm just not good at this place. A top 10 will be all that I can probably get out of. And there's some guys that can extract what they've done in the past. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but I really look recent now as just more, what did they do on this track or like tracks last year, or even the season of a track is kind of similar. And that's pretty much all you can do because this car has changed the game of a lot of stuff in general.
Sure. We're midweek here, so not a full odds board right yet. But any other wagers, either outright guys that you're looking at? You kind of hinted at one there. Maybe some matchups to keep in mind as those odds roll out as we get closer to the weekend.
Yeah, matchups. I've looked this week. I'm not seeing really anything attractive yet. They've kind of paired like guys that I can see like, oh, this guy could win, or that guy's a top five. And it's like you're kind of reaching when you start getting matchups like that. So you don't really want to chase that kind of money. I did allude to Toyota earlier. There's a DraftKings I saw before I came on. They had the manufacturer win. Chevy was a -135. I don't like betting too much minus numbers when you can get plus on Toyota. I just mentioned is 1-5 of the last 8. They're +180, so I did like that one. A couple sleepers to win the race outright. Kevin Harvick is +1800 today. He's won a past winner in the 600. He's a veteran. He knows what it takes. He's got 16 starts since 2013 there. 14 of those he's finished in the top 10. He was third last year. He was second at Darlington a few weeks ago, which is kind of an aged surface. Charlotte's kind of an aged surface. You're not going to see a similar type of racing, but you look at the surfaces I like to look at. So you could get him right now, too, at +500 to finish the top three, which I thought is kind of a bargain right now. If you're going to go within the top three, you might as well double down and go +225 as a top five. so I do like that. Tyler Reddick, he was good there with the Chevrolet with Richard Childress Racing, who for a Chevy team kind of, I thought, outkicked their coverage at a place like Charlotte. His three Coke 600 finishes are 8th, 9th, and 6th. Now he comes over to Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan's team, that 2311, which is Toyota, which we talked about how good Toyota's been there. You could get a +1600 right now if it went outright. He's qualified good typically, so that's a guy that as you're kind of early in the week, what I like that you do is kind of give a pack of guys that might, you think, qualify well, and those odds will probably drop. So if somebody like that or Harvick that are double digits, you might want to snag them now, because when you get to Saturday night, if they qualify top 10, they're probably dropping. So those are a couple guys of some really longer shot guys. Plus 9,000 is Austin Dillon to win. He's got two top eight finishes, his last three there, which seems really weird. It's like, why does he jump out on the board for a place like Charlotte? It's his home track. Maybe it's extra motivation. He's plus 1,000 for a top five. So if you don't think he's actually going to win outright, I don't. It's not hard, I guess, to bet a dollar or two his way at plus 9,000. You never know what you're going to get if he sneaks one in. You're not out much. But for a top five, you never know. He's been around for the last couple of years, and he was leading coming to the white flag of this race last year, and he got wrecked. You never know with somebody like that. A really, really long shot, Michael McDowell. Do I think he's going to win? Probably not. But he's plus 300,000 right now. Or plus 300,000. Yeah, he's plus 300,000. He's plus 4,000 for a top five. He finished eighth last year. Wow. And this track, we've seen some carnage. It's 400 laps at 600 miles. Yeah. So you want to go with a longer shot. Those are a couple guys. And then the Toyota, as I said, that prop bet, I do like that one for plus 180 to win that race out of the manufacturers. So those are some kind of things I'm looking at early in this week. Obviously, things can change when you get closer to the weekend. But while those odds are sitting there, they're worth to take a look at.
Yeah, definitely caught my ear on a couple of those. I'll have to go back and listen to this and go through the accounts and find those corresponding bets. And always those plus money ones are nice to be sweating on Sunday, especially when you're going to be flipping burgers and doing family time this weekend.
Exactly.
Right?
So, exactly.
So we're going to shift to IndyCar. I know that you absolutely love it. It's the big race. It's the Indy 500. It's Christmas Day there. Not as mainstream as some of the other markets like NASCAR and F1 and stuff like that. But how does IndyCar capping differ from what we would just be talking about, say, with NASCAR right now, prepping for a NASCAR event?
Yeah, IndyCar is a little different, because what I like about them with betting is the hard thing about NASCAR is, you've seen it before, you might bet four guys and finagle the money out where, like, at least one of them wins, you're coming out ahead, and they're running 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you see that late race caution, like, oh my gosh, this changes everything. They go to overtime. IndyCar doesn't. IndyCar doesn't have an overtime, so it's kind of it's more pure with the guys that you think are going to be up there, usually up there. There's more practice sessions, like here at Indy. They had a whole week of practice last week. They had one on Monday. We got another one on Friday. They've already qualified, so you got more data kind of to look over, where NASCAR, it's a 25-minute practice session, they qualify, and then you race. So there's not a whole lot of things like you used to be able to get, because NASCAR, right, in the past, when you have three practice sessions on a weekend, they do multiple runs. We'd get 10-lap, 15, 20, 25-lap data, so you could kind of look down of, all right, who's good on short run? Who's good on long run? Who's qualified? Well, you can really use to be able to own in, like, all right, I feel really strongly about these guys. Where now you really can't do that, because that data is not, it's irrelevant, because you kind of race what you bring. IndyCar still has that. So you could really own in on some guys, and especially here at Indy, there's certain guys that are really good there with driving for good teams, and there's some guys that just, they're not. And usually those trends follow suit. Last year, I had a trends article that led me right to 25-1 Marcus Ericsson, and he won. So I feel those trends are still, so far what I've noticed from being out there, they're right there on the money again. So that's where it differs. You can kind of own in on some more drivers based off more information than you kind of get out of NASCAR in this COVID era, where on track time is real limited for them right now.
This is your backyard, right?
It is. Yeah.
It is. I assume you've been out there for the last week and a half already.
Yeah. So. Yeah. For my wife's. Yeah. I've been I'll be out there media days tomorrow. I'll be out there for the final practice on Friday, covering the race on Sunday. So, So I've a lot of data from a lot of things that I've been out there and talked to some drivers. So, like I said, you got 2 weeks basically out there. It was worth of data that you can decipher through of who you like and who you don't like. So, there's some guys out there.
All right. With that said, people better get the pen and the pad of paper ready for this. Okay. So, and pardon me if I blow any names here, but is it Alex Palou?
Palou.
Yeah. We got Pato O'Ward and the 2008 winner, Scott Dixon. Those are the three names at the top of the board. Is Indy 500 kind of race dominated by the favorites, or is this an event that can hold value for names further down the board? I looked at it like a guy like Helios Castellaris there, and
yeah,
you know, he's a guy that's won this multiple times, but he's further down the board this season. How is this going to shake out? Like you said, there's a lot of data getting pumped into these odds right now.
Yeah, it's this race. There's been 35 straight years that it's been won from a top 19 starting spot. So I kind of just eliminate guys back because everybody I've talked to said it's going to be a good race for passing. But you kind of get mid-pack, it's a little more difficult to pass. Up front, you can pass with ease. So then I looked the last 5 or 6 years, the top 8 have won. And that's kind of right in the wheelhouse. So You might be able to get a couple guys farther down, but I wouldn't go too crazy. Elio getting plus 4,000 for a 4-time winner is really good odds, but they just have struggled this season. They just look all right. I think it'll take something crazy for him to win on Sunday. It's IndyCar is one you don't really need to chase some of the money because the trends and odds and the stuff is right there where I like to get plus 4,000 for a guy that's tied for the most wins ever in that race. But I feel like you're also would be chasing money for someone like that.
True.
Like Palau, yeah, he's been – it seems almost too good to be true there. I mean, he won the pole. He won the road course race just a couple weeks ago on that track. Granted, it's a road course. Now we're on the oval. He's been dominating. But it's also once in the last 13 years has somebody won the pole and won the race. It just almost seems too good to be true. And I look at Dixon. He's actually a guy that I have on my report for covers. I'll be sent over here pretty soon. I'm fading him even though he's up front. And It's because he's got 5 poles at Indy and he's only won once. He's just dominated this race. He just finds ways to lose every year. And every year I pick him and every year it goes against me because it's like, it just seems like he's having, Alex Palou is having the type of season or month of May at Indy that Scott Dixon has had over all these years. I mean, he led 111 laps in 2020. He didn't win. He led 95 laps last year. He was leading coming to his last pit stop. He was speeding. It doesn't matter what he does, something takes him out. And I feel like Palou, it just seems too easy to take the favorite in this route when it just seems like the favorite there doesn't always pay out. So there's some good values behind him.
All right, man, speaking of such, who do you have pegged for a strong showing at the Brickyard this Sunday?
I like Pato Award. He was plus 700. I looked yesterday. I'm not sure what he is today. He probably still is somewhere around there. 16 career oval starts. He's got 2 wins, 5 runner-ups, and 12 top fours. 11 top fours in his last 12. He starts 5th. That's the same spot that Marcus Ericsson won from last year, and he's plus 700. Rinus VK, front row start. He's starting 2nd. He was plus 1,000. He's my trends winner. So he's got my article's coming out tomorrow for the trends winner. He fits the bill. And I actually have him right here in front of me. We've had a 11 straight years now of a different car number that's won. He doesn't have the car number that's won. Again, the top 8, he starts 2nd. The winner of the last 4 of the last 6 winners of the Indy 500 the year before they won finished outside the top 10. He finished last year. He started front row and he wrecked. So he's fast. We know that, but he wrecked. 5 of the last 6 years, the driver to win the Indy 500 has never won an IndyCar championship. He's never won an IndyCar championship. He's the only guy in the top 8 that fits all those bills, just like Marcus Ericsson last year, and he won. So he's plus 1,000 right now. So I like him. And probably my 3rd favorite out of that group, Takuma Sato, was plus 1,200. He's been fast all practice, top 2 in every metric that I've got. He's got a top 3 in his last 6 Indy 500s, and he seems to win this race in 3-year increments. He won in 2017 for Andretti Autosport. He won in 2020 for Ray Hall. Now he's with Ganassi, a 3rd win, every year 3rd increments for 3 different teams, and he's plus 1,200 right now. So, and he starts 8th, so he's right there in that threshold that I'm looking at. So those I would say right now are my 3 favorites would be Pato at plus 700, VK at plus 1,000, Sato at plus 1,200.
All right. I gotta go back and listen to this, get them in, get those bets in. And finally, too, we wrap up, and this is probably one of the fastest growing markets out there in terms of audience as well as sports betting, and it's F1, and it's been just nuts. I know our guys and our team, they love it. They get up early, they do this stuff, and we've got the famous Monaco Grand Prix this weekend. Compare F1 capping to NASCAR. Like we said, it's, you know, these things are different. There's a different way of doing things. How should bettors be kind of paying attention to things? What should they be paying attention to when they're scouring these F1 odds?
Yeah, F1's more difficult because it's kind of like the same team keeps winning. And the odds aren't great to get, because like Red Bull, they won the last 2 years in Monaco. They've won every race this season. They won 15 of the last 16 races. So naturally, it's like Max Verstappen or Sergio Perez are probably going to be your go-to. But you're not going to get good numbers for them. So I like to maybe, if you think this is the guy out of them that you like, that's kind of all or nothing. You got to go them or nothing at all. So Sergio won there last year, but Max, I looked at street course this year. He's second, first. He's got 5 top twos, his last 6 on street courses in general. 15 top twos overall, kind of every circuit in F1, and his last 17 races were going back to last year. So it just kind of seems right on the wall for him to go in at. But you also could go, because you get better odds if you go against them.
Yes.
Because they're obviously naturally, those guys are the heavy, heavy favorites. So I look at maybe just if you want to do a pack, like, hey, look, I'll throw maybe some money for some longer shots that race and see what we get, or some other props, and then bet more NASCAR, IndyCar, or maybe you do a parlay with Max or Sergio. But like Carlos Sainz, he was plus 3,000 and he finished runner up the last 2 years there. He's kind of been around. Obviously, the Red Bulls are kind of off in their own world. Fernando Alonso has finished third, so he's kind of sitting there. He was plus 650 to win. So, I mean, you never know. The Red Bulls could take each other out going for the win. They're in a points battle with each other. And we've seen crazier things. I've seen teammates do that before. It's a street course, so if something happens, then you got to get the next guy there. That's why I like Fernando Alonso at plus 650 or Carlos Sainz at plus 3,000. So those are some guys that you might can take a flyer on. Aston Martin is plus 600 to get a win. If you want to just go that route, just cover the team. And Ferrari at pole to win the pole, they're plus 135 right now, so you're getting plus money. They've won the last 2 poles in Monaco. They just have had bad luck. So that's not a bad way to look. Or some fun props, under 5 seconds, the winning margin is plus 135 right now. And 2 of the last 3 years, it's been under 5 seconds at Monaco. And if you want to go farther, it's been 3 of the last 5 races there. They didn't run there in 2020. So that's why I say 3 of the last 5 instead of the last years.
Yes,
this season, 3 of the last 5 or 4 on the season, I should say, have been 5 seconds or less. So they're all kind of right around there, and that's plus 135. You can get plus 225 for if you think over 17.5 cars will finish at the end. And actually, and I got a list since 2017 or 2018. These are the finishers. They're 17, 19, 18, 17. So it's kind of right around that threshold. And this year, 4 of the 5 races, at least 17 drivers have finished. So you get plus 225 on that right now. Because I feel like everybody knows the Red Bulls are so strong that you're probably on a street course not going to push the issue. You might just take the points as you can get them and not push and wreck trying to go too hard. So we might see there's 17 cars finished last year's race. And in Miami, which is a street course that we just ran in the United States a few weeks ago, all 20 cars finished. So you could probably see guys that probably are a little more conservative on a street course in general that you might be able to cash in on maybe finishers. So those are the kind of things I look at for F1 is an outright win is you kind of know who's probably going to win, but you're probably not getting good at a good number on it. So you might chase something over here and maybe parlay it with some other races and maybe try to gain something out of it.
Gotcha. And just to recap and what you're talking about here, 2021 winner Verstappen is an odds on favorite at some books, minus 120. You can get him plus money if you shop around. And then and his teammate Sergio Perez, anywhere between like plus 270, plus 280 out there. And then, like you said, I think what the third guy on that team is like plus 600, plus 700 range. Yeah.
You're probably better. You could even do if you – depends on how much you want to wager. You could pretty much, if you could shop and find Max for right around that plus money, even if you get him at plus money and you get Sergio and you just bet enough to, or if one of them wins, you're profitable. You could go all in on that Red Bull and maybe not do anything else. Cause as I said, they're 5 for 5 this year. And the other thing, if you could find somewhere to get two drivers on a podium, Red Bull's finished 1-2 in 4 of the 5 races this year, and including the 3 street courses. So the odds of them getting a 1-2 are probably pretty good. So if you think very highly of Max and Sergio, if you want to double down, try to get them for a double podium for the Red Bull, because unless they run into each other, they're more than likely going to both should be on the podium there.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. That's Eric Smith. You can check out his work at covers.com. You can check out all of his analysis at Race Review Online. Eric, where can they follow you on Twitter as well, too?
Yeah, it's at Eric_RaceReview. I have a lot of content on there, behind-the-scenes stuff as I'm at the track. So anything you want. I did a video of Graham Rahal missing the Indy 500, who now he's back in, but it quickly got like 400,000 views like that. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, there's all kinds of stuff that I put out there. Some behind the scenes stuff that maybe, you don't get privy to the FC. And I know like IndyCar, I cover a lot of those races, in person. So, and then pick up NASCAR when there's not an IndyCar race. So, try to give the fans of just behind the scenes stuff, the views that maybe the TV doesn't show.
That's good stuff, buddy. That's the stuff that the sports books don't have, right?
Yep, exactly.
That's the stuff that the sports books don't have. So we gotta find those edges where we can. No Arthur de Cesar this week, which means you're stuck with me for the 2-minute drill, where we're gonna turn our attention to game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Boston back home, down 3-1 to the Heat, and laying 8 points here Thursday night. A few bets that I have on the go already. I sip from the cup of Al Horford overs again. Going over 7.5 points, Thursday's game 5 is going to mark the 3rd straight game in which I bet Horford over on his expected output, with the veteran forward topping twin totals of 6.5 the past 2 games with efforts of 8 and 12 points. Not only did Horford go over, but he went over those bets before halftime. So it was a pretty sweat-free second half for me on some bets there. Odds makers having a bit of an adjustment with his points prop here to game 5, but just bumping it to 7.5, pricing the over at even money, and with player projections for Horford sitting at 9 points or more, I'll snatch up the positive expected value on his NBA prop pick there for game 5. Horford has been quiet, kind of offensive force for the Celtics going back to the conference finals, but he does see a notable uptick in offense performance in Boston, where he averaged just under 11 points on almost 51% shooting, including 48% from beyond the arc this season at home. Those numbers eclipse his road results of just 8.6 points per road game and less than 44% shooting, so over 7.5 from Big Al at home. I got 2 Jaylen Brown bets as well, too. With the Celtics second fiddle playing some sour notes in this series, but his game 5 projections just too good to pass up, especially with the series swinging back to Beantown. Every other Celtic stepped up in game 5. Brown continues to struggle from outside, but some home court comfort should help him find his form. His point projection well above his total of 22.5 points. My number sitting past 25 points. Given what he's done from inside the arc, we're asking Brown just to hit a couple more. Just hit some couple threes, man. He's 3 for 25 heading into this game here back in Boston. Also high in his rebounding total for Thursday. Models pegging Brown for 6 or more boards, with some flirting as high as 8 rebounds. My number just shy of 7, which is still good for over 5.5 boards. He's pulled down some outputs here, 4-6. 9-4 the past 4 games. He's recorded 6 or more rebounds in 7 of his last 11 postseason games. So over 5.5 rebounds from Jaylen Brown on Thursday night. That is it for this episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Dell. Thank you for listening. If you have a moment to give the podcast a rating and review, we'd love to hear from you. And then we'll talk to you next week. Have a fun and safe Memorial Day weekend, and good luck with your best.